Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today I'll speak with the cast of the George Street Playhouse production of My Lord, What a Night, a play that is inspired by true events in Princeton, New Jersey that led to a friendship between opera star Marian Anderson and theoretical physicist and the most famous scientist in human history, Albert Einstein.
I think with Albert, how we played it, I don't know how actually true this was, but with playing that Einstein was sort of obsessed with Marian's talent.
You know, I think the beauty of this play is that each one of us gets to show our strengths in different ways, but we also each have moments of vulnerability and just the full spectrum of humanity. Yeah, it's a very special responsibility. It's beautiful. I love the journey.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. Marian Anderson was not just one of the greatest opera and spiritual singers of her time, performing with renowned orchestras and major concert and recital venues, but she was also an important figure in the struggle for African-American artists to overcome racial prejudice in the U.S. during the mid-20th century. Just part of her story is told in the final show in the George Street Playhouse's 2025-26 season, My Lord, What a Night. The play is written by Deborah Bevoort and directed by the amazing Sheldon Epps. My Lord, What a Night is inspired by true events and begins in 1937 when Marian Anderson is turned away from a hotel due to her race and is taken in for a night by Albert Einstein. That encounter sparks a friendship that lasts nearly 20 years until Einstein's death in 1955. Joining us, the cast of My Lord, What a Night, that runs through May 17th at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. The person playing Marian Anderson is a wonderful Broadway veteran. You've seen her in Sunset Boulevard, Company, and many other shows. Rashidra Scott joins us. She plays Marian Anderson. Rashidra, great to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Actor and composer Anthony Cochran, television veteran for sure, The Good Fight, many others, plays Albert Einstein. Thanks for being here.
Hi, nice to be here.
Also joining us is Mitch Greenberg, who plays educator Abraham Flexner. Mitch, great to have you here.
Thanks.
And Gail Samuels plays civil rights activist and women's suffragist and educator Mary Church Terrell. Some people have pronounced her Terrell through the years, but it's indeed Terrell. Gail, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My Lord, What a Night. Boy, I can't wait for this show because I'm a lover of history, and this is all based on this true event with several of the most interesting characters we've ever encountered. So let's start with you, Rashid. You're playing Marian Anderson. I understand the first song that we hear is actually your voice singing like Marian Anderson, and we'll hear a little bit of you in the show as well.
Yes, you will. Yes. Very exciting. Just before we started rehearsals, Sheldon sent me an email letting me know that he had this idea of opening the show with an audio clip of me singing a song that Marian has been known to sing, just to kind of help get the audience in the mindset and the vibe of, I just finished this concert, and now here we are with where the show begins. And so at some point during our rehearsal process, I got to go into a room and record for about, I don't know, it took us, we blocked off about an hour. I don't think it took that long. I got to work once again for myself with the amazing Sir Shelton Becton, and he is the accompanist for me. So we actually recorded everything, was fully live. He was on the keyboard piano while I was in another corner of the room recording the vocals, and we did a few takes, and yeah, I don't really think anyone knows or realizes that it's me. I don't think I sound like her, but I take the compliment, but I'm also very picky. I did start being classically trained, so I'm just very persnickety about placement and tone and sound. And I've been very musical theater lately, so I'm not quite there, but I'm aiming to get better as we go. And I still take the compliment because I have had people tell me that they at least feel like I'm invoking and very close to her tone, which is one of the most unbelievable and highest compliments ever, because she's Marian Anderson. Come on.
How much of her life did you actually know about heading into this play?
None, really. For being starting off classically trained, I really had not. I mean, I knew who she was, obviously, but I did not know anything about her. Sheldon did early in the rehearsal process. He did pretty much advise us, like, okay, it's great if you know a whole lot, but at the end of the day, what the story that we are telling is a version of them kind of behind closed doors, and all we know of them is their public presentations. So it's not about us doing impersonations. It's not about us upholding these assumptions and stereotypes of who they were as humans. It's just showing their humanity and their reality. So there are no impersonations. It's just being ourselves. And so I haven't challenged myself yet to read too much, just because now I don't want to muck up what we've worked on. But I have about 3 books that have been delivered that I will be delving into once we, you know, probably closing weekend, because by then it will be back.
Anthony.
Yes.
Please take this as a compliment. You do have a striking resemblance to Albert Einstein if your hair was whacked out. If your hair was really whacked out, but the mustache and everything, you got it going there.
Thank you.
Now, we know so much about Albert Einstein, but this is one of the events I didn't know about, and it just shows the depth of this wonderful guy who just shaped our lives in so many ways. What did you learn about as you went through this play? What did you learn about this man?
Well, I sort of learned lots of things early on as I was preparing for it. He has a very checkered life, and you know, there are lots of things about him that, you know, there's a theory that his theory of relativity was actually something that he and his first wife came up with, and that actually she was, you know, as responsible as him for the actual theory itself. You know, he has a past with he made a list of provisos to his second wife that he, you know, that she could stay with him, but that you know, A, B, and C must be, you know, that if he found another person that he wanted to have a relationship with, that she could say nothing about it. And so there's lots of things about him that are darker than I would have thought. But then on the other side, you know, the people who spoke to him, he could communicate and be very, very free and easy with all people in all different social stratas. And so it was a fascinatingly open character. And also he stood up for, you know, civil rights. You know, he really was someone who couldn't stand injustice. And so playing that, you know, that side of him, which is a lot of what the play is about, it was easy for me because I feel that way myself. So that all comes from, you know, my gut. So I don't have a problem with any of that.
And no one ever said being brilliant made you a great person when it comes to relationships. So
that's right. Yes. Quite the opposite many, many times.
Gail, you know, playing Mary Church Terrell, this is a civil rights activist who was a trailblazer and had so many firsts when it came to her life. But not many people know all the details about her as well. How did you approach this role?
Listen, there's so much information out there about Mary Church Terrell, and I feel that she's one of our sheroes, one of our African-American female icons that I think sometimes gets looked over. We hear, always hear about the men who were instrumental in the civil rights revolution or activism, and we don't hear enough about the females. But she was so active. It when I look at some of the things that she did in her lifetime, a founder of the National Association of Colored Women. She was a charter member of the NAACP. She started the National Negro College Women's League. I mean, she was actually very responsible for the desegregation in Washington, D.C., which is huge. And so when I look at some of her accomplishments in crafting this role, I kept thinking to myself, she was feisty, she was determined, she didn't take no for an answer, she didn't have a lot of fear. If she did, she never showed it. And I felt like she, in bringing her to life as this character in the play, I also try to find a little soft moments, maybe a couple of fun moments, and the fact that this all happens behind this closed doors, it's like we never know what really went on, in these negotiations and, trying to get people to become activists and to get on board with, fighting for our rights as African American people and women. And I'm so inspired because at that time, 1937, 1939, the fact that she was brave enough to stand up for the rights that we deserved is remarkable. And I'm honored to be able to try to bring that character to life in this play. It's just been an amazing journey for me.
She's really somebody that there should be much more attention paid to than
They
she
could
has
do a
got.
play just on her life. You know what I mean? Really, So yes, it is amazing what she accomplished in her lifetime. And at this stage, in this play, I believe she's 76 years old. So she's still fighting the good fight, until she's, and I think she dies shortly after Brown versus Board of Education. Yeah. So she fought all the way to the end.
Now, with this play being set in the Einstein Library, educator Abraham Flexner worked at Princeton with Albert Einstein. And Mitch, you play Flexner. Some people might not be familiar with his work either, but he's also another major figure when it came to Abraham and this whole scenario being in Princeton. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes, it means a lot. Flexner himself was an amazing character. He, first of all, he was brilliant also, but not as a scientist. He founded various schools of various thoughts around the country. He studied at, Yale and Harvard and Oxford and here and there. And his big claim to fame before founding the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton, which, by the way, was not actually a part of the university. It was sort of a half sister to the university. Before that, he had written a thing called the Flexner Report, in which he went hither and yon looking at the way doctors were educated. And he found most of the medical schools around sorely lacking. And he wrote this big report about how medicine should be taught. And pretty much the whole country followed his advice and revamped how medicine was taught. In fact, more than half the medical schools in the country closed after his report came out because they wouldn't couldn't go along with his suggestion. But anyway, I also found out that he was he also didn't suffer fools gladly, or didn't suffer most people gladly. He was in sort of an acid-tongued, elitist, put downer of people that he had no use for. Tried to work that into the show, but you can't just do that for 2 hours. It becomes boring. But I was just fascinated to find out all these things about him, some of which could inform the performance, some of which I had to let go. That's Abe Flexner.
The play is not called Four Brilliant People. How many brilliant people does it take to, to turn on a light bulb? No, my Lord, what a night. Rashidra, when you think about these four individuals, it's kind of hard to believe that they could all be sharing a conversation without somebody either stepping on somebody else's toes or whatnot. Now, the conversation that goes on, give us a sense of the dynamic that we'll see in this play.
Yes, and it's there are many toes stepped on. There are many moments of agreement. There are changes in alliances. There are, I mean, you get it all in within the 2 hours of this play that we're presenting. You have just various combinations of allegiances and headbutts and disagreements. And yeah, it's really interesting. I know for me, there are oftentimes in the story of the play, in the context of it, where Flexner is saying certain things specifically to Einstein that are really only about their situation going on, but it also relates to Marion and where she is, and she's hearing it in a different way. And I think there's another moment where also with Flexner and Einstein having a conversation and a bit of a spat, and Mrs. Terrell comes in and says, "Thankfully, somebody's on my side." Like, it just, we are so intertwined and in and out, and it's really fascinating. Deborah did such a beautiful job with the dynamics and the levels and the shades of everything within each character. I feel like we all get to play so many levels of feelings and variety of feelings. That's really special.
Gail, you had mentioned that, we don't know everything that happened behind closed doors, so there has to be some interpretations and some ideas. What did you specifically like about the dynamic between these characters?
Well, there's a lot of history based on true events, which I think is intriguing, because the stuff is not made up. Like, these things did happen. It may not have happened exactly at this day, at this time, at this hour, and I think there's a lot of discovery between all of the characters. How do we get along? How do we disagree? In that time period, what was acceptable, what wasn't? And so it's a nice cacophony of a blending of strong personalities, really. Trying to find a way to agree. what I mean? We can agree, disagree sometimes, but at the end of the day, I think we end up all on the same trajectory, after trying to weave everyone trying to get their own way, everybody trying to get their own opinion in, everybody trying to be heard and to be understood and to give a different a perspective, which I think Deborah does a great job of. I think all of these characters are well fleshed out, and we have our highs and lows. We have our moments, of contention. We have our moments where we are, very conciliatory. And so it becomes a really interesting jaunt, if you may, in the evening. It's four personalities fighting for something, each of us having a reason, to want our point to be heard.
Anthony, I think one of the things that's is fascinating is that this wasn't just like a one-night event for Albert Einstein and Marian Anderson. Apparently, this relationship, this friendship, lasting for 2 decades. Why do you think that was?
Well, I think it's very much what Gail's talking about, and I think it comes across in the play, is that that these four people with extremely strong viewpoints are all able to converse about it. Plus, I think with Albert, how we've played it, I don't know how actually true this was, but we're playing that Einstein was sort of obsessed with Marion's talent. I mean, was an incredible fan of hers, and so to have her in his house was this. This is an amazing thing, and she reciprocated. So, plus they're quite opposite. I mean, she is quite held back in her personality. She doesn't want to make waves because she's a black singer singing, you know, for mainly white audiences at the time. He is a Jew who's been forced out of Germany just before the war, and so the two of them have the issues of their races, and he's dealing with it head on, and she's pulling him back slightly. So they're very complementary in how they are. But ultimately, as I say, Deborah's play is really about, you know, how do four people or a community or a race discuss these things without it being different camps unable to talk to each other, unable to come to a compromise. And it's you know, it's very telling now. You know, I just see the NAACP in the headlines today. You know, it's so relevant. You know, it's shocking.
You mentioned, Anthony, about both admiring each other, and I find this music to be the connector a lot of times. I've had so many athletes who want to be singers, singers who admire athletes, and had that on my sports podcast many times, Sports Jam. I think it is the musical side. You mentioned that, you know, he thought about her talent.
Yes.
Music seems to be the ultimate connector for all of us, doesn't it?
I think so. And I think he always considered himself rather a good musician and would have gone into music had he not been a physicist. And so, you know, his love of music and his feeling that music was some way connected to science. And in fact, as a musician myself, it is one of those things that I was always terrible at math, and my father, who was an accountant, used to scream at me, you know, that I didn't understand the, you know, basic things. And of course, the more he screamed about math, the less I took it in. But if he'd been able to explain it to me musically, I would have understood it. So I think it's the connection for Einstein between music and science is very strong, and that I think leads him to this love, just pure performance that she has, that he doesn't have, I think. And that's ultimately what he loves about her, is this ability to just, you know, transform into this fantastic musician.
Speaking of talent, I'm always thrilled to know how George Strait brings in these talented four actors here today that are joining us for My Lord, What a Night. Mitch, how has it been working with Sheldon Epps as director?
I'll never work with that man. No. I find it very easy, first of all, because he couches everything, even if it's a criticism, in this lovely way, this friendly, warm, you know, whatever. But his ideas are always good, and I love getting outside input to what I'm doing, especially if it would make it better. And that's what I've had with Sheldon. And he has a great sense of humor, as I think I do. So we get along quite well, and I admire his direction, and what could be better?
All of you have done, you know, plays and TV and things like that. And I'm always interested to know, Mitch is live on stage. Is that really still get the, you know, the juices flowing for you?
Absolutely. 100%. When we first got into the theater to look at the stage and the audience, both Tony and I stood at center stage and looked up at the balcony and said, "This is where I belong. This feels right. This feels me." And that's been the case ever since I started this 52 years ago. And it's nothing, has no resemblance to being in front of the camera. It's not the same at all for me.
All right, so I like to ask these kind of questions, Rashidra. Marian Anderson magically shows up in the front row of GSP during this run, and she comes backstage. What do you want to ask her?
Oh God. Can I just keep you for about a week so that I have time to think of all of the questions that I want to ask? That's what I would ask her.
Gail, what would you ask about your character if she showed up?
I think I would ask her, how did you find the strength to stand up when nobody else was standing up?
Mitch, Abraham Flexner wants to say, "Hey, come down to Princeton and let's talk about things." What would you want to discuss with him?
Quite frankly, because my father was a doctor, and his school, I'm sure, followed Flexner's advisories, but also because his teachings put a lot of herbalists and traditional medical people and homeopaths and all these osteopaths, put them all out of business. And so I believe in all those modalities, and I would say, what is your problem? Why can't you make room for everybody whose work actually accomplishes something? Does it all have to be your way? Also, how the hell old are you at this point? I'm asking.
Antonin's playing Albert Einstein. Oh, there's many directions you could go when if he would show up at George Street Playhouse. What do you find is the most interesting part of his life? It might not be a part of this play, but what do you think about Albert Einstein? Either as you kind of touched upon some of it, misunderstood, or something that we should hold on to more about this gentleman?
Well, there's a lot of things, as you say, a lot of stuff that's, swept under the carpet when it's somebody famous, and they you say, oh well, he was Albert Einstein, In fact, we say it in this play. I mean, Mary Church says, yes, but when Flexner's criticizing him, he says, but this is Albert Einstein, one of the he's got the greatest mind in the world. And you go, yeah, but so basically, what I would ask him is, is all of this stuff true about your this, how you felt about your wives? Did you share the theory of relativity with your first wife? And what did it feel like when E equals MC squared became the atomic bomb? What was that feeling when these Hungarian physicists told you that information?
Yeah, I'm fascinated with the whole atomic bomb and Einstein's role in all of that. That definitely would be a road that I would have to pursue as well. Rashidra, you get the last question here today. As you were singing the opening, and you have a few lines that you will be singing in this play, did that take you back to what mindset she had to have at that point in history to be singing those spirituals?
Absolutely. And especially, I mean, I think one of my favorite moments so far is when Tony and I are set up to start the very first, the opening scene of the show, and just standing back there and the image and what they have created with how the show opens. I won't go into specifics. No spoilers. You have to come see us. But it absolutely, every show sends me into this space of, wow, she was going through all of this and having all of this acclaim and all of this praise. But at the end of the day, for the audiences that accepted her, it was only going to go but so far. And that does tend to put me in a very specific, very special place. There is a responsibility to honor that. There is a responsibility to display that truthfully and honestly, and while not running away from it, and to be graceful with it, but honest about it. And, I think the beauty of this play is that each one of us gets to show our strengths in different ways, but we also each have moments of vulnerability and just the full spectrum of humanity. Yeah, it's a very special responsibility. It's beautiful. I love the journey that each of us go on, and I love that we each get to go on the journey together.
And we won't spoil it, but many people know what happened 2 years after that encounter her historic performance. But we'll let you go to George Street Playhouse and certainly check out this wonderful play, My Lord, What a Night. It runs through May 17th at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. It has been an honor and a pleasure to speak to these tremendous actors. And I'll tell you, I can't wait. So thanks for joining us today on WBGO and continued success to all of you.
Thanks very
Thank you
much.
so much.
You can see my entire conversation with the cast of My Lord, What a Night on the WBGO YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.